This is lesson number two in 2 Corinthians, and we're studying chapters 3 and 4. And I titled this Joyful in the Midst of Suffering. In chapters 3 and 4, Paul addresses those who are preaching to the Corinthians and call Paul's preaching into question. St. Paul seems to be persecuted no matter where he is. He's getting beat up and imprisoned by non-Christians, while the Christians that he loves are griping at him for not spending time with them. Now he has Jewish Christians who still follow the Old Testament, assassinating his character and calling his preaching into question because he has no letters of recommendation. Paul says that the Corinthians' faith is like a personal letter from Christ, written with the Spirit of God. Unlike letters written in ink that fade. Then he refers to a new covenant that came about through God's pouring forth of his life-giving Spirit. He speaks to the Old Testament in that Moses had the written code of law, but not the Spirit or the promise of eternal life. Christ is greater than Moses because he entrusted us with the gifts of the Spirit. And it was Jesus Christ who empowered Paul through the Holy Spirit, making him an apostle of a glorious new covenant that bears the promise of eternal life. What is happening is that the preachers and evangelists that are visiting Christian communities are taking pride in carrying their letters of recommendation. Perhaps some in the community have questioned Paul as to why he does not have similar letters. Letters of recommendation were common in Paul's day, but Paul says the only recommendation he and his fellow ministers need is the conversion and faith of the Corinthian Christians. Paul writes that self-commendation means nothing, and is only God's commendation that matters. He then describes the Corinthians as letters. He says that they are Paul's letter of recommendation. They are a letter engraved on his affections for all to see and read. They are a letter from Christ of the gospel of salvation that Paul delivered to them. And they are a letter written by the Holy Spirit on tablets of human hearts. When I think about this, I ask myself, if I'm a letter from Christ, what does it say? Can others see that Christ is in me? Does my life have the aroma of Christ? Do I bring Christ to others that are in need? The Corinthians' conversion and continuing faith in Jesus Christ are therefore the basis of Paul's confidence in Christ, since through Paul's ministry, the Holy Spirit has written the law of love on their hearts of flesh. Paul's heart must be broken while he writes this letter. It seems that he is pleading with these people to continue to recognize Christ and the Holy Spirit through his original preaching. Here's a guy who continues to love this community even in the midst of their questioning and persecution. He visits and someone is nasty to him, so he leaves in order to not inflict pain on the community. He doesn't visit, and this causes people to question his integrity. Other preachers show up, show letters of recommendation, and take money for their preaching, and this causes Paul's qualifications to come into question. And all the while, Paul is getting beat up in either Ephesus or Macedonia. When Paul writes about earthen vessels that hold a treasure in verse 7, what he refers to is our fragile human bodies. They are the earthen vessels or instruments God uses to continue his divine plan for humanity. The treasure these vessels hold is the good news of the glory of Christ. Paul found a treasure in his belief in Jesus Christ, in the gospel of salvation, and in preaching the gospel. He gave up everything else in life to possess this treasure. Do we recognize this? We are the earthen vessels that hold the most precious treasure of the good news. Do we proclaim that? Paul's body is a fragile earthen vessel that experiences suffering in his ministry. But it's through that suffering of Christ that the glory of God is revealed. And Paul's suffering also reveals the glory of God, because it is through that suffering that Paul grows deeper in his commitment to trust in God as he risks death to preach to all the nations the knowledge of eternal life in Christ. In verse 8 and 9, Paul lists hardships that he endures and others that he's willing to take on. Along with the hardships, he lists out how God delivers him. Paul is afflicted in every way, but not constrained. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Do we recognize this in our lives? Can we say that in our affliction, we are not constrained to continue God's work? Is it true that even if we are perplexed by what we're going through in life, because of our faith in God, we are not driven to despair? Have we experienced persecution because of our beliefs? Paul has, but he knows that God has never left him. When life strikes us down or beats us up, do we realize that because we have God, we will not be destroyed? Paul links these sufferings in his life to what happened to Jesus when he writes, "For we who live are constantly being given up to death for the sake of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh." Let me say this again, and this is the end of chapter 4. I'm just going to read the last verses of chapter 4. "For we who live are constantly being given up to death for the sake of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since then, we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, 'I believed, therefore I spoke. We too believe and therefore speak, knowing that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and place us with you in his presence. Everything indeed is for you, so that the grace bestowed in abundance on more and more people may cause the thanksgiving to overflow for the glory of God. Therefore, we are not discouraged. Rather, although our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this is momentary light affliction. For this momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is transitory, but what is unseen eternal." Paul clearly proclaims his faith by affirming his belief in the promise of life beyond the limit of human death, and the life-giving effect of his preaching the gospel to the communities of the Christian faithful. Verse 16 brings hope. "Therefore, we are not discouraged. Rather, although our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day." Paul finds inner renewal in his spirit. He has joy in the midst of affliction and persecution. He gladly experiences this because he sees that this light affliction produces glory beyond compare. Our God is glorified through our sufferings, so Paul joyfully endures and accepts the sufferings. Paul urges them not to become discouraged despite the experience of death that all humans must face. Our outer self, this earthly vessel, may break down due to suffering, but our inner self, our soul, undergoes daily renewal in divine grace. This divine grace prepares us to receive eternal life. So as we continue this Lenten journey, it may not be so bad to dwell in the desert for a while. Look at the blessings we have received in our lives with thanksgiving and recognize that any suffering we endure, Christ has already done so. And in doing so, he has shown us the way to eternal life. The song that